What's going on? It's Adam. Welcome back to Bringing It Backwards, a podcast where both legendary and rising artists tell their own personal stories of how they achieved stardom. On this episode, we had a chance to hang out with Bo Nair. Bo Nair is quite the character. Right off the bat, you'll see what I'm talking about. He talks about where he was born and raised, how he got into music, and how he is putting out five albums, one album a month this year up until the end of the year. So we talk about that as well. You can watch our interview with Bo on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringing It Backwards. It'd be amazing if you subscribe to our channel, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Bringing Back Pod. And if you're listening to this on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcasts, it'd be amazing if you follow us there as well and hook us up with a five-star review.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're Bringing It Backwards with Bo Nair.
Holy moly, what's up? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, man? How are you?
Good, good to see you. We're shaking.
Not too... I'm sorry?
I'm just getting my head on straight, man. I wake up sometimes late, you know, because I stay up late and make a lot of music at night. Do all that I do.
There you go. Right on. I'm Adam. Nice to meet you.
Bo Nair. Nice to meet you.
Cool. This is a podcast about you and your music journey. And
oh, I love it. It's a journey. Unlike anybody else, I guarantee you.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, let's hear about it. Where were you born and raised?
Well, there's a bit of a bone of contention today because I don't have a birth certificate. It's one of them things that I was told it was Louisiana, New Orleans, where my pappy used to hang out a lot and visit various brothels and places of ill repute. And I tagged along. I don't quite remember. Could have been in a Greyhound bus going down Route 66. So for me, all I know is my earliest memories are seeing these boogie-woogie piano players playing in brothels around New Orleans and different places down in the South. And my pappy was a traveling guy. I actually still to this day don't really know what he did.
Is that right?
I know we could afford prostitutes. Sadly, that you know, I'm not condoning that in any way, shape, or form. But he was a lonely man after he and my mammy split ways, as couples sometimes do, you know.
So okay, interesting. Okay, so you would spend a lot of time down in New Orleans, or what?
Well, many times over, but I spent a lot of time on the road. So what happened was I'd be in Alabama, I'd be in Tennessee, I'd be in Kentucky, I'd be in North Florida, I'd be in Georgia. I'd be in different places going around and seeing different people, hearing different people, and seeing when you get to enough different places, even in the South where it seems like everybody's Southern, whatever. North Florida is more Southern than South Georgia, but I digress. You get around enough these places, you see the similarities in people.
Okay.
People are moms and dads, love their families, love their kids. Some people teach love. Some people teach hate. It's just that's what's going on. I teach and preach love always.
I love that. Rad. Well, what about music? You said you were around the piano players, the brothels. Aside from that, what else?
So my first recollections, besides listening to 8-track tapes and my daddy's Camaro, were being around in all these places where people were actually playing the piano. And if you know anything about the piano, it's a percussion instrument. It's a mechanical thing. It's actually quite amazing that somebody invented this.
Incredible. Right.
Whole thing that works where you push. So when you have this and you see people really doing it and playing it, it becomes a part of you. You kind of plug into it and it brings all this music out. I couldn't believe it. So I was like, I'd stare at the piano when nobody was playing it. And I'd just say, man, think of all the music that's sitting in there. And if I just learned to tickle it, I could bring it out. A similar technique I applied to pleasuring the women in my life.
So what age was that? What age?
Well,
not the women were you tickling, but what age were you tickling piano keys?
Well, as soon as I could reach the keys. I mean, I was a little kid and I started to ask questions. Hey, show me how you did that, you know, and again, the way I found myself into lovemaking. But I digress. Well, I'd be watching somebody play and they'd be on the break. And I'd be like, hey, that little thing you did with your left hand, can you show me how to do that? And I'd know what it did, even if my hand couldn't reach it. And then I'd do it. Eventually, as my appendages grew, again, homage to my lovemaking.
Sure. Okay. So, being on the road so much, I mean, it sounds like you're traveling around with your dad and you're hitting up some brothels.
It was classic, but let me tell you, I wouldn't trade it for anything else. That itinerant lifestyle where you learn that every day when you open the car door and you get out in a different town, you're new to everybody. Sure. So you can technically pull can into be. One town, be the coolest cat ever, pull into the next town, be a strong, silent type, pull into the next town, you could be anybody. So you kind of learn this like thing about yourself as you glue from a tethered place.
And or you get out of the car, and then if you just like shit the bed and like no one thinks you're cool or whatever, then you're like, well, at least tomorrow I got another chance.
ETFO, yeah. Next day, next time, come on. But if dad's like, hey, we're staying for 2 weeks, I was like, oh man, I already pulled my asshole card. Oh man.
Yeah. And then you're then you're done for. Then what are you doing? You're just looking for brothels with pianos?
Yeah. And eventually somebody to ride on your mustache. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, besides brothels, there's other places with pianos. Not so much anymore.
But where else were you hanging out? It sounds like that was a big spot, though.
Well, think about it. You know, you got places like pool halls and jukebox joints and whatnot. Sure. I'm never into drinking. I'm a cannabis user. So I don't drive. I had a beer. I had some wine. I did a wine tasting up in Napa Valley. It was lovely. But after a little sip or two, it was like, what am I doing here? Where's the cannabis tasting? What do I pair with my cannabis? I don't need to drink more wine.
Sure. Are you in California now? I'm just curious.
I am. All of me.
All of you. What part? I'm from California originally. Well, now I'm in Tennessee. Like we swap places.
Yeah, I'm out in the mountains because the city life ain't for me. I like the idea of being able to drive down into Los Angeles or drive over into Santa Barbara or something. But really, unless I'm going to a show or some live comedy or taking over a karaoke bar, which you may have seen me do.
Yeah.
I like to keep to myself. I sit in my studio, make music as much as I can. And it's really about inspiration.
Sweet. What do you like? I guess I don't want to give out your exact location, but like around what? Like Bear?
Oh, no, that's Arrowhead. On the eastern side. I'm on the western side towards Ventura, Ventucky, as they call it.
Sometimes. Got you. Okay. I know exactly.
Interesting.
Where you're
Ventura's
at.
Got this kind of like Ventucky feel to it where you're at. You guys think you're Northern California, but really when it comes down to it, you're Northern Southern California. I don't know what I'm talking
about. Right. Yeah. You're kind of in the middle there, right?
I hit the karaoke bars in Ventura, see what those people have. Some of them have a sense of humor. Some of them, absolutely not. To which I say, hey, how you doing? Hey.
I guess it depends on what part of the Ventura you're in. Because you can get the snooty. Really, I mean, you could get the water, you know, the beach peeps.
Are you a wave rider by any chance?
Not so much. I mean, when I'm from San Diego, so I watched a lot of people ride waves. I skateboarded, though. I wasn't really down with that cold water in the Pacific Ocean.
Well, it's usually a lot warmer down there. Being on the count, it's a whale's vagina. Hey, thank you very much. Sure. But one of the things that I know about the waves is they are teacher. They teach you things. They teach you lessons about yourself. They show you who's boss, but they also teach you to get in the moment, in the flow. The past is shredded behind you. The future's uncertain, but possibly some pleasures ahead are there. Smackdown. I love it. Keeps me fresh, keeps me whole. Every time I punch through a set, I'm like, yeah. So I'm all about being out on the bodyboard, which is why in the wintertime, especially that Ventura coastline, nice and tidy, tell you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But it's freezing.
I don't the secret spots, but I'm telling you, somewhere up there is the victory.
Yeah. I'm sure you got a full suit on when you're getting in there? You got the head thing?
Or three. I put on some booties, put on a hood, keep my head warm. Yeah.
Man. It's freezing in there. Well, I'd be wearing that like in August.
I do. I wear it year round. What can I say? I like to be comfortable. But I'll tell you, the thrill of dropping into a big, tasty barrel.
Carving,
scooping your rail, maybe spinning 360 on the way out, or hit the lip, do a little inverter, ARS. Man, that's the kind of stuff that makes all the cold just go away.
Sure.
I'm inside just thinking about it.
Oh, yeah. That's fun, man. Yeah. I did a little bodyboarding. Not a whole lot, but like I said.
So when you're ready, we can go out. I'll come down and take you to a secret spot down there you may not even know about.
Is it called Black's Beach?
Oh, man, that's where I do my nude sunbathing.
Love
that's
it.
That's why I have no Speedo lines. I have a perfect tan on my ding-dong.
That's cool. Well, I don't know. When you said mountains and cannabis, I was thinking maybe you're up in the Humboldt or something.
Oh, I've traveled that way. The Emerald Triangle, man. Mm-hmm. Look, you can go to Amsterdam and Jamaica and different places. California is where it's at. That's why when I came out, going back to the music, during the pandemic, I was on lockdown and my my cabin up, and I had my little studio set up and my piano, my guitar, my bass. And I just started cranking the songs out with a big jar of cannabis and a little sack of mushrooms. Everything just opened up in me, and I wrote a lot of music, and I'm putting all this music out right now. My first, second, third record, Nearly There. Next record coming up, and the one after that, there's going to be 9 in a row. Now,
oh wow,
one every month. And I know you're saying, hey man, come on, hey, how can you continue the quality? I guarantee you, you're going to listen to these albums, you're going to listen to these songs, you're going to hear an artist expanding his mind. And also tickling your loins and your booty with some funk, because I lay down the bass, the funk bass in the country music, and I call it funk tree. That's
yeah.
My songs, and I play the instruments, and I produce the music myself. I write the lyrics, everything solo. So what I put out there is I'm not putting myself on anybody else's lip.
Sure.
Who else would do that? Who else could do that? I look at people like Prince as an inspiration. I look at people like Frank Zappa as an inspiration. However, I'm Bonaire. I'm in my own wing of the building. These guys didn't have everything that I got, and I've got what they got. That's fine. I don't need to wear those tight pants with the big buttons, Prince. I may need to dance with somebody named Apollonia Vagina.
There you go.
Hey.
So, okay. So piano, were you writing songs as a kid, or was this like a new venture for you?
In a way, I've always been writing songs, but little songs to myself, right? Okay. Got a jingle for something I like, or maybe I write a song, I play it on the guitar and some honky tonk, but nobody cared. Nobody cared back then. I was kind of incognito underground. Nobody cared. That's when you do your best work, when nobody cares, when nobody's listening, when nobody gives a rat's tushy about who you are and what you're doing. So you're just doing it for yourself. You're doing something to create something that lasts beyond yourself. And I have created this body of work. So I had to release it in style. At the end of it all, there may be a semi-nude calendar. Ladies, hold on tight. Woo-hoo! I don't know. Some of you gentlemen too. Everybody's come on into the tent. You're all welcome.
All right. Well, maybe you can put out, instead of 9 records, put out 12, and then each album cover will be.
Well, you're queen, ain't you? You're a size queen. I give him 9. He wants 12. Oh,
I want 12. I just want 12 pictures of you on your sexy calendar.
Well, there's going to be 12 pictures. 9 albums. Hey, by that time, I may do 3 more records worth of stuff because
I'm an
inspired man.
There you go. 2020.
It's not just because the women send me their underpants in the mail. I don't even know how they find me. The underpants keep coming.
Oh man. Okay, so when did you move to California? How long have you been living there? I should say.
I would say it's been a couple of years. It might be a lucky number 7, I think.
Okay.
But I was on my ramble. I was traveling around. I was up north, I was here and there, went to Calistoga, put mud on my ding dong, did the thing you do, naked Watsu floating in the springs. I got it all done.
Okay.
And then I came down here. It was just warm enough for me to keep my action flowing year round, especially in the ocean. You ever surf up there, man, you go on your nuevo and that shit's 40 degrees and there's great white sharks coming in cruising for you. Good luck.
Oh yeah, man. I lived in the Bay Area for about 5 years and I think I went in the water once.
So ocean beach, all that. I have mad respect for people to go out, paddle out and surf ocean beach. You guys are mofos to the end.
Oh yeah,
I'm down here. I do my own thing down here. I get plenty of big waves, but that stuff's crazy.
Oh yeah, and it's literally freezing.
Like, I like that. I like that people do that. They go crazy, so I can appreciate it and have my vicarious thrill. That's why I live the life that I live, so all my fans can have a vicarious thrill through my music and my life, and soon to be live performances. Because here's the thing: most people don't understand. You're gonna put a band together to create music. You have to put people in those slots to go and do it justice. I'm literally replacing myself.
Yeah.
How the hell do I do that? I mean, hey, I'm not going that I'm the most special person in the world, but I got a certain thing and I can't spread it around. So who am I going to get that's going to stand that tall next to me? It's been a hard job to find. I take a group of females if they could all outplay each other. I just want the best, badass ass jammers in the world. Anybody listen to this and wants to throw down some funk tree, you can reach out to a Bonaire because somebody's got to come in and grab the crown and be fit to wear.
So currently you're just recording records and putting them out. And are you playing by yourself, like solo? So
Here's what happened.
Tell me the story. Let's hear the story.
I recorded all this music, right?
Sure. And during the pandemic.
During the pandemic, all last year. Right? Up into really the new year. And I'm recording all these songs and for my own pleasure, driving around, hanging out, having fun. Mm-hmm. And I'm realizing that group after group of these coming out, and I'm coming up with these names for my record. I mean, Truth or Nair was pretty easy. And then Bodacious was, I like that. And then Nairly Dare, I got coming up Bonanza, Mr. Bodangles. I got them all coming. Eight and nine are going to really take you by the wee-wee. But for now, I'm going to only give everybody what's coming the next couple. But all these I recorded. And then now I'm going back and I'm fine-tuning. I'm listening through, I'm adjusting the mixes so that the bass is right there to grab you by the coochie and everything else. The lyrics are nice and out front so you could hear some of my filth and degradation and intellectual smut that I like to unfurl from my educated tongue.
All right. So where do you start? I mean, are they all kind of like, you know, Truth or Nair? Bodacious, like, are these like collections of songs that you're like, okay, I know these are going to go together as an album? Or did you just have a bunch of songs that came out and you, tell me about that.
It's interesting putting together the flow for a record when you put together the track list, what's going to come first. So I'm opening these records with a big funky tune because it's got to come in with the slam, right? Massage Garage on Nearly There is a prime example. But as these albums unfold, each song gonna stand up for itself. I mean, you could put on a mix of all my records together, and they would just flow just fine, right? Some might be a little softer and more romantic than the others, but there's gonna be the bass coming in, and everything's gonna feel real good. My goal is to be known as a songwriter, to be known as a performer once I can get my band together and get out there, is to be known as somebody that did something that nobody else. There's a tent. Some talented people out there farming out their songwriting people, farming out their recording of people. All right. Peace out. It's good to hire people. Good to hire session musicians. Good for songwriters to have songs, bring them in that mailbox money. I like that. I don't need that. But maybe I'll write a song with Taylor Swift. Maybe I will write a song with Miranda Lambert. Maybe Miranda Lambert will leave her man and drive me like a Lamborghini. I have no idea. That Taylor Swift might write a whole album about our veiled romance before it's even started. I don't know.
Yeah, she got it. She just announced a new record. It might be about you. We never know.
Well, I am a midnight man, so.
Okay. So, are you actively looking for members of the band, or
I'm going to do this right. I'm going to find the right people. And if that takes me a little time, it's okay. I got albums coming out. Some of my biggest songs are on albums. Man, what's coming in November and December? What's going to hit you in January? I'm telling you. I'm leading up. So people are going to say, how can he top this? That's the thing. I set my own bar so damn high that I could not help but continue to reach for my bar. Also an allusion to my masturbatory habits, but I digress. It's almost like a mild form of Tourette's. I can't help going with the low-hanging sexual fruits.
There you go. So I want to know the other names of the records because those are good. Yeah. I like Truth or Nair, I want to pitch a couple to you. I'm going to pitch one to you when you're done.
You're going to pitch one to me? All right. Yeah. Well, I can only give you what's coming up. I can't give you. Okay. So
give me what's coming up.
So Bonanza is.
Oh, yeah. Bonanza.
Of course.
Bojangles. Was that one?
Mr. Bodangles.
Oh, Bodangles. Okay.
And there's a picture on the cover that I'm telling you right now, it's pretty saucy. I don't know who else listening out there. And number six, which is going to come out in December, is Bonafide. Oh, yes, I am.
Okay. I like those.
I'm a little bona fried right now. But hey, yeah. And that one has a song that it may be titled in an incendiary emotion, but it's about one of my favorite animals. It's called Big Fat Pussy. I think you might.
Very cool. Dig it.
And there's a song called Smothered in Mothers because they love me. Silver Tongue Fox. What can I say? Grandma. Yeah. I haven't written it. Actually, I did write a song about grandmas. Which album is that on? Hold on a second. Grandma's is coming on. What album is that on? Is that on number seven? Number seven. I can't even tell you the title of that because once it's out, people are going to be like, oh, no, he didn't. I'm going to be, oh, Bo, he did.
Oh, Bo, he did. That's a good song about grandma. Right there. There you go. Oh, Bo, he did.
You're not, you're going to think there's going to be a song about me having all sorts of sexual relations with grandmas. And while I could write a song like that, or perhaps a photo journal book, the bottom line is I wrote a tender song about that grandmas aren't here forever. We got to cherish them while they're here. And every once in a while, I'm going to surprise you by touching your heartstrings. Give them a little pluck like the arrow, like Cupid's arrow. You're going to feel it now and then right back to the big, thick dick jokes.
There you go. But what about, okay, here's my pitch for you. The less you wear, the more you nair.
There's
you can
one
keep that one. You can keep that one.
The less you wear, the more you nair. Man, that's a motto I should put above my bedpost.
There you go. Yeah. What was I going to say? That's cool. So you have you said every month you're releasing an album for nine
that's
months
right. straight? September, I'm the 9th. I pushed it past Labor Day weekend. But basically, the first Friday of every month, you're going to get a nice little surprise drop. And at first, my people were like, hey, man, people work a record for a year. You know that. I'm like, I know.
Yeah. Yeah. And
they're going, it's too much for people. I'm like, listen, if you need to go, if you go get into somebody who's gone, Jimi Hendrix, Bob Marley, their catalog's there. You can dip in as you please. Hear the songs that everybody likes. Hear the greatest hits, whatever it is. By this time next year, you're going to have my entire catalog out there and then some.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good time to start getting on the train because you're going to have a month to live with the music and then something's going to drop. And you're going to say like, all right, let's see what's on this one. I guarantee I bust guts and nuts.
I like it. That's cool. That's great. I mean, it's definitely a different approach and you're doing something no one else is doing.
I am. And I'm penetrating parts of people that look, modern country music turns me off. It's very narrow. The subject matter's narrow. The sounds are narrow. The rhythms are narrow. Everything. So even line dancing, people move around, but there's no movement to the gluteus maximus of people listening to country music. The last time people got funky to country was Exile, Kiss You All Over in the late 70s. So I need to bring back something that's people who listen to country is going to be hearing my song come on. All of a sudden, their body's going to start moving. They'll be like, what's happening? Like in Beetlejuice when they all start, singing the Banana de Mayo song. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So this is my plan. I'm going to come in under country and comedy, too. You might have heard some of my answering machine messages I put up online because I pretty funny and people need a laugh nowadays. Some serious people out there, right? Everybody needs to lighten it up a little bit.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you about that. Is this gonna be like more, because obviously the songs have a very comedic appeal to them, is that what you envision, like more of a comedy slash
now,
you know,
look, you ever show? you ever see Police Academy, Police Squad, Leslie Nielsen movies? You know what I'm talking about.
Naked Gun. So
when you watch his early movies where he was not a comedian, he's straight, you're waiting for a punchline the whole time that never comes. You're like, holy shit, this guy's holding off, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming out with the humor. Look, I got a sense of humor. I got to let it out. And I like to be clever. I don't need to use all the low-hanging fruit of dirty words. I could use those all day long. And I have a couple in there, sprinkle them in there. Hey, I'm an adult. This is adult music. If a child is listening, you might want to put that off a little ways. But all I want people to hear, you're going to hear great songwriting. You're going to hear catchy melodies. You might be singing about a sweet little beaver or something like that, but it's going to be a good hook and it's going to catch you. You're going to realize what I'm doing. You're going to realize I'm playing all that music. And you're going to realize too that if you see my other videos, there's something more than just the music here. I could put myself on the comedy, but I also like to comment on things in the world. My recent video I had up about the Pledge of Allegiance and, pardon me for being an originalist, but I went back to the 1800s version that was written, not the version where they added under God, the 50s Cold War to appease the anti-communist. I get all why it's there. People are like, if you're not saying under God, you're not saying the pledge. But being originalist to the Constitution, be like, you can't have it both ways. I hate hypocrisy. That's one of the things I'm up against in the world is hypocrisy, wherever it comes from. You might have seen my dating tips for incels. I won't help people out. You don't sit there feeling sorry for yourself because a girl's not going to jump on your loins and start mashing them up like potatoes. You want to be able to have something to offer so a woman knows she's going to feel safe in your arms, safe with you between her legs, which is where you need to be if you're going to get your mustache ridden. Am I right? I'm right. Prove me.
Very cool. I can't, I'm anticipating these next few albums, man. And I can't wait to not only listen to them, but check out the titles.
Now I'm going to tell you something. You can tell. you can tell my whole year by what I was singing about. You can tell the point where I was binge watching Three's Company. I'm a big Jack Tripper fan. Mm-hmm. And Norman Fell and Don Knight. We get into a whole Three's Company talking why Cindy should be just removed. Anyhow, you can tell when I was reading The Lord of the Rings. That was at the same time I was binging it. So there's songs on Nearly There that specifically reference both Three's Company and The Lord of the Rings together in a match made in heaven, my heaven, which also includes me on the arm of Miss Emma Bunton from the Spice Girls. Emma, if you're out there, my heart beats for you, too, shall become one.
Love it. I love it. Well, this has been great. I have one more question for you, Bo, before I let
Only
you go.
One?
Only man. One more, man. This flew Do by.
It. Show it.
All right. Any advice for aspiring artists?
Yeah, I got advice for every aspiring artist out there. Are you ready? I'm going to lay it to you straight and thick. Be true to your dreams. Be original. Don't listen to people that tell you you can't, you won't, you'll never. Don't listen to people that try to diminish what you're doing, that don't get what you're doing. Sometimes people that profess to love you and do love you, love the version of you that they see in their eyes. And that version may be challenged by the version of you that you are becoming, much like David Bowie morphed into Ziggy Stardust, right? So if you are going to be the ultimate butterfly that you need to be, then you have to be unfettered in how your wings can flap and fly. You don't need somebody coming up and yanking your wings off like a mean old kid with a fly. You need to soar. So you need to look for the people that's going to be wind beneath your wings. You need to look for the people that are going to shoot straight at you and tell you the truth and tell you, you know what, that does suck, but you getting better. I like that. It's getting better. And maybe get to a point where you trust your own gut. But for now, what you got to do is create healthy boundaries so you can create the art that you need to create. Now, that's not saying that sometimes artists aren't their worst enemies and not being able to edit themselves or getting demoitis and holding on to an idea. You have to be able to kill your darlings. You have to be able to reimagine what you're doing and next level it up. Everybody's got a next level. It's like a superhero outfit hanging in the closet. Most people don't acknowledge it or dare to put it on. I put mine on. I made my music. I made my video. I put my albums out, and I'm about to take over the world, not just of country music, but the entire globe of human consciousness. And if that ain't inspiration to you, get up off your butt and start kicking some ass. Bo Nutt.